Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Juan Epstein. Before we get this show started, DJ Juanito, say hello.
Good morning and have a good Jewish holiday.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, Juanito.
Sorry.
Anyways, listen, we are about to get to this episode, part two, with Marley Marl. I know you were expecting part two with Mr. C, but we decided to put that on pause, and we'll come back with it in 2 weeks. Shut up, Juanito. And we'll come back with that in 2 weeks, okay? So Mr. C, part two will be happening. However, right now, I got this back from our friends at Boiler Room, who put this out initially. Here it is, part two, live from the House of Hits. If you're wondering why it sounds different, because we were recording on these little microphones, it was on camera, blah, 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 blah. It's an hour more with the great Marley Marl, okay? Also, thank you to everyone, all the Carhartt girls, all the incredible supporters of Juan Epstein who show us love. We certainly appreciate it. Want to tell you a couple things. Of course, if you want to get down with what Seif's doing, his improv classes, hit him up, don'tgetgassed@gmail.com. I am going to be DJing tomorrow night, Thursday night, at SOB's for Groove Candy with our girl Carly Hustle, myself, L Boogs, DJ Ben Amin. We're going to have a good time. That's over at SOB's if you want to come hang out. I'm spinning some 45s. Also, I'm coming to London Town for the Boom Bap Festival. It's actually just outside of London, like an hour away in Suffolk. I'll be there for that. And I have a gig that weekend that I'll be getting you information on as well. And I want to give a big shout out to everyone who supports us and appreciating the consistency with which we've been bringing Juan out. We've really been trying our best to bring something new every single week. Everyone who supports us at Patreon, we really appreciate it. Patreon.com/WanEpPodcast. You can donate money there every month to the cause. People who donate $20 get a Peter Palooza shirt. Next week, we're going to answer the questions people have because we take questions on Patreon.com as well. So if you love the podcast, if you love that we're doing it every week, go over to Patreon.com/WanEpPodcast. Throw us a few bucks. We will take it. Don't think we won't, because we will. Now, part two with Marley Marl, live from the House of Hits. Juan Epfo live.
Hey, good morning, Seif.
Double start?
Double start.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
And no snacks today for you. No carrots?
No, I just had some strawberries.
All right, good.
We're being filmed today.
Yes, we're doing
we're
a different
location.
We're doing a different flavor here with our friends over at Boiler Room. And we actually, we always make the promise of the second Juan Epstein.
Right.
It's never happened.
No, it's never been a part two?
People have come back before, but never did we like actually do what we said we were going to do.
Well, I don't remember where we left off, so how would we do a part two?
Well, in this case, all we said was we should go to Marley's House of Hits.
Yeah.
And we should like just talk about what he has and go through his stuff and check it out and do video.
Okay.
And so we're doing that today.
Right, right.
So Marley Marl, thank
you. Hey, we're here, man. What's
going on? Thanks for letting us invade your house.
Could you ask him to spit out his gum?
Marley, you got to spit out the gum.
Okay, I'll
I'm
pull
sorry,
it out this
the listeners.
I got killed last time.
Are you happy, listeners? Right, the gum's out.
Smiling, you're smiling.
But I got to say, Marley, I just went back and listened again. I don't know. You were a phenomenal guest. You're actually pretty good at radio. Who would have guessed it? Scott Marley Marl's pretty good. Last time. We covered a lot of ground, to be honest with you. But I just want to pick up with what we were actually doing in the room when the cameras and audio started recording. And you're just playing you're just showing off and playing random various acapellas that you have on your laptop in this studio, which, by the way, has Seif. Is this the board from when you first started?
No. That's before I started. That's the board from Hot 97.
That's the Hot 97.
Well, a lot of this stuff, these type of boards were in the other production rooms. Right. But not the main studio. Mm. But there's other stuff, like all these cabinets and stuff. And like,
does everything, this fully work, Marley?
Yeah, we rock. This is where we basically used to do Future Flavors on, you know, when we was on Hot 97, we used to broadcast live from here. Tim Westwood used to do BBC up here. He used to come up here and do BBC with us all the time.
So you used to ISDN from here to the station?
ISDN box right there. Zephyr,
where?
Right on top. Bam!
Oh, that's
bam! Zephyr.
Hey, Marley, I'm just curious about that. How expensive is ISDN?
ISDN line, it's like a regular phone line, basically. But it's just that when you do the long distance calls, like to other countries for hours and you're broadcasting, it's very, very expensive.
That adds up.
That adds up.
Okay, but what about in the country? Is it that expensive?
No, it's like a regular phone line, basically.
So are you trying to hook one up in the crib?
I mean, it's something that I've always thought about. It. I've always been like, it would be so
it's
nice to have an option.
It's probably not that hard.
It's not.
Well, I've always thought about that. I'm like, even, I know this sounds really basically, even with your and my crazy schedules, like, it wouldn't be terrible if we were able to just jump on ISDN and do a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's crazy because when they do those live broadcasts from the clubs, they go to the club about a week or two before the live broadcast.
They site check.
And they get it put in.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard to do.
Right.
It's very,
how much
really
is the
simple
machine?
Oh, the machines now. Now we're talking.
Okay. How much that Zephyr cost?
Zephyr's cost about, like, they're over 5 Gs.
They're over 5. See, why didn't you mention that part at the beginning? So it's 5 Gs to start. Yeah. I didn't think about that. All right, so Marla, what do you got on this? First of all, is there anything else you want to tell us about this room for our listeners? Because we're sitting here, you know, there's the Pete Rock and Marley Mall raucous banner. I don't even remember what that's about. What is that about? Say.
I don't remember.
What is the album?
That's when we used to do on Future Flavors. They was like one of our sponsors, so they throw a little banner up there. So
oh, you didn't do an album.
Oh, got it.
Yes, yeah, it was one of our sponsors.
No wonder Raucous is gone. Look at the bootleg sponsorship. I mean, it's legendary now, but at the time, it's got the plastic around the outside. What else is in here? You have a weird turntable. So can you explain what the hell's going on with this turntable situation?
Wow.
From what I heard, he just explained it to us because it's a 1500 Technique 1500 platter, motor, and arm implanted into a 1200 bass.
Yeah. Why'd you do that, Marlon?
I do that because I've always been working with 15s ever since Mr. Magic's album cover. You can see me in front of one of these turntables. And in broadcasting, I always use these. So later on, when it came with the 1200, they tried to make it similar to this, but it was close. It's a little different. When you touched it, you felt the difference, right?
Yeah. Oh, you definitely feel the difference, but because the 1500s were these turntables that you had to put into like a table at the radio station.
Yeah.
It wasn't for that kind of DJing we do. It was literally how the radio station would play music, right?
Yeah. It got the quick starts, the quick stops, you know, for the radio. Boom, boom. And that's what it was for.
Which is funny. So I didn't ever realize that in the radio station, the turntables that were built into radio stations would in fact be great radio turntables for...
Yeah, but somebody had to change every song.
The personality. Someone changing something.
We don't even do that anymore.
Marley, is that your random smoke alarm that goes off periodically?
Oh, yeah, you're hearing a beep? That beep in the background?
Yeah, that is smoke alarm.
Sure, there you go.
Is that, okay, I just want to make sure.
You can unhook that. It's right over the door over there.
If you guys want to...
No, that's that classic ghetto sound.
I know, that is. Just a random beep every 40 seconds.
Yeah.
So anything else in here, Marley, that like really stands out to you that you're proud of and you like...
My MD collection, basically, and you know the historical board. Let me tell you about this board right there. That was the board when Hot 97 was on Broadway back in the day in 38th Street, I believe it was. We used to have so much fun over there.
I know.
And you know that was the board that switched over. That board right there brought hip hop to the masses. You know when Hot 97 first became hip hop and R&B when they went from dance.
Mm-hmm.
That was the console right there. Mm. There's a lot of names scratched in there. Rodrigo's name. You know, you see Angie Martinez's name scratched in there. You see Flex's name all up in there. Everybody that once worked at Hot 97 at that point, they scratched their name in the board. So very historical.
How did you get it? Did you just ask for it when they were done with it?
You know, when radio stations move, they just throw everything away. They don't care.
Oh.
Everything goes in the street. You know, if you know any radio station changing any equipment, go outside because they putting good equipment in the street. So what happened? I was walking by the studio and I said, "Hey, what you doing with the console?" And they was like, "Look, if you get it out here, you can have it." It was that simple.
No, when we switched over at the station, I took mad shit.
Yeah,
no. When they were cleaning out the back room to create the digital department and all that.
Yeah,
I took mad shit.
Speakers, all types.
He's like, "Well, you put." I'll give you this stuff, put this stuff in a maybe pile, and I'll get approval. I just took it
off. Okay, but so bad, because I won't name what we're talking about, but I just recently decided I want a stereo in my house. Mm. And I was like looking on Craigslist, and I was like, you know, what the fuck am I doing? There's a stereo system at the radio station. So I asked one of the people that would make this decision, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, we have some stuff in here." And I look, and there's like 8 different receivers, just regular stereo receivers. Yeah. I'm like, perfect. And then I'm like, "What about the speakers?" He's like, "Oh, well, you know, take the ones with the wires attached." The wires attached means it's like the junkier boombox ones. Mm. But I kept looking, and I saw plenty of other ones without the wires attached.
So you made a stereo
from all stuff at Hot?
Yeah. I thought you went out and bought specific pieces. I didn't know. So you put together a nasty old 90s stereo.
That's it. Well, I picked the oldest receiver they had.
Nice.
Because they had some that were a little bit newer. It looks like the one I got because it's still push button.
You wanted it to look old.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. To me, and Marla, I don't know how you feel, but like, in my opinion, the best stereo equipment's all, the older you can get, the better. Like, as far as the warmth of sound, yeah, I like 70s and 80s. I actually like 70s and 90s. The 80s ones to me are a little janky for some reason. Wow. But the 70s stereos I really like that are all knobs.
Yeah.
And then this one looks like it's around like 91, something like that. But it all came from our conversation that day on Juan Epstein about how no one has stereos anymore.
Yeah.
And how I'm excited. I want to be in the forefront of people somehow putting stereos back in their home. Because this is the way people listen to music is fucking disgusting.
No, stupid.
I was listening to D'Angelo's album yesterday, and I'm like, you can't listen to this album on a fucking little Bose or whatever it may be, whatever company it is, Pill or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really full, weird album that needs, like, you know,
speakers.
Right. Really needs a car. That's, I gotta be honest, even last night my house didn't quite do it justice. I needed to get in the whip.
In the whip.
So, okay, so we have the board, Marley. What else is here? By the way, what are the computer screens next to the board for?
The computer screens was definitely to push the music out, in commercials. We used to go into commercials when we had the Future Flavor Network here.
So you would actually run commercials from here, too?
Yeah, run commercials from here. The whole network.
Yeah, those screens are so classic.
Why no more Future Flavors Network?
I got kind of tired of it. You know, it's so funny because I started Future Flavor Network way before everybody. I started Future Flavor Network before radio stations were streaming. How do you like that?
And
after I had my heart attack, I got sick and I just, pulled back a few things.
Yeah.
Because it was like, this used to run from Thursday. It was like a full-time second job because I was on the radio too.
Right.
As well as doing that. And, so I was program director, music director, chief engineer.
Yeah.
To air talent. I was everything.
You were in charge of putting in a long hour worth of applause and whistles in the background that used to play from one of the mini discs.
Every time.
Future Flavors?
Yeah, but was Future Flavors? You ran nonstop the applause?
The hand clap.
Just the whole show is just underneath, like,
yeah, you know why I used to do that? Let me tell you why. Because people used to steal our exclusives.
Right.
So that was a way I would say, like, if I heard somebody play an exclusive that we had with the clapping in the background, I know where you got it from, sir. So I would do that because we had so many exclusives, and you know how it is.
Yeah.
Come on, let me tell you something, man. Just from that alone, I went to Japan. Molly Mall's remix EP. It was a bootleg. So I had to do things like that.
What's on there?
Okay, can you play us a little bit that's on that bootleg?
Wow, it's like, there's, what's on here? It's like Baby Remix.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. Let's throw some of this on.
I want to hear what's on this.
You want to hear the bootleg?
Okay. So for everyone listening right now, I wasn't watching the video. Marley just did some shit that an old school DJ would do that me and Syph would never do.
What's
which
that?
Is just dropped a record on top of the other.
You have a vinyl there.
Yeah, it's all quick. You know,
who cares?
This is live. This is live.
This is how you move.
This is live. That's how you roll.
Yeah, it's so funny.
That's how you roll for real. All right, I'll do it over there.
No, you don't have a needle. Over there. You're moving the needle.
Yeah, I'll be respectful.
Why don't you just take that vinyl?
because that's for Serato over there.
Yeah, that's
my Serato side.
That's Serato side. All right.
You know what I'm saying? Plus, this is live. You know, you got to unplug stuff. What else are we talking about while we getting this together?
He had to replug.
Yo, he's engineering right now.
That's right.
Yo, by the way, I got to tell you, that's another thing I do love about my new Rain 62 mixer.
What's that?
I don't know if they have that on there. Just the one plug-in for everything.
Oh.
All you do is plug your turntables in, and then when you're using Serato or anything, all you're doing is switching the top. You don't ever have to. You don't have second wires or anything.
Mm. Yeah, why would
it's
you?
You wouldn't. But I've always had the box.
Oh yeah,
I have never had a mixer with built-in Serato.
You didn't have the first Rain?
I never got it. I've had my Vestex
guy.
And by the way, rest in peace. Last week, Vestex called it quits.
Oh, the company.
End of the line. Yeah.
Oh wow.
I might now have to go digging for a few more pieces. Because I just found out that the Vestex I had, there was a version that had a built-in sampler, which I did not know.
Oh, you didn't know about that.
No. And that's the one thing the 62 doesn't have. You can't loop vinyl. You can only loop Serato. I want a mixer that you can loop vinyl live.
Loop vinyl.
Loop
vinyl. So you can loop a break. So when I'm playing 45s, I can, instead of going back and forth with 45s, which I know I'm not good enough to do and don't have the records for, you could hit a loop on one and then grab another record.
Yeah,
and
that's crazy. That's crazy.
And you can't do that on the 62.
So you can hit like a little sampler and record a couple seconds of it.
Boom, and then loop that back.
But you're offbeat anyway.
Good point.
Your samples will sound like Cypress Hill first album.
All right, so what's the first one?
This right here.
Almost. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Come on, Marley Marl, let's go. Go, go.
The Usher remix that I did, I don't know how they got it so clean.
Is that from the radio?
I don't know how they even got it.
Let me hear.
It's crazy.
Let's play a little bit.
Anybody know the brother's
calm and I cover the arm. Oh, this is Fab?
Girls say a brother the bomb, but ain't no ladies in my life other than mom.
Did it come out?
No, a lot of my remixes I do just to have. And I play them on the radio. It's just so weird. I'm in the store. Who've been doing it my way,
getting my bread for years. Pretty clean.
Now what happened, I was in the store and the guy was like so excited, oh, we have your new EP, Marley Marl, your new EP.
Is it in Japan?
Yeah, and I'm like, my new EP? I'm like, I'm excited to see my new EP. And he pulls that out, boom. I'm like, huh? And I'm looking on it, and it's just remixes, all my remixes.
What's the next one there?
You want to hear what's next?
Yeah, I think P-Rock bootlegged him.
Yeah. I blame Pete.
I think Pete got you, man.
He's the one in Japan. I'm having girl problems. I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a chain one. I got the rap patrol on the troll. Foes that want to make sure my cask is closed. Rap critics to say he's money cash. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? Have you grew up with hoes in your zap? And these are ones you played on the radio at some point, but it might have just been once.
Right. Pops wouldn't have pulled me back and said, yo, yo, nah, nah, you don't stop. Oludara in the house, you don't stop. Prison to get from the blues of jazz to rap. The history of music, the greatest man alive. I was like, yeah.
What store was it in Japan?
It could have been Manhattan Records back in the day, I believe.
Oh,
could have been Manhattan Records back in the day.
It's not there no more?
You know, a lot of those record stores closed down because the vinyl aspect is kind of leaving.
I know. I haven't been to Japan in a few years, and I always, in my heart, I'm like, nah, they're still there.
Well, so a lot of stores. I'll tell you, the only store I had time, I just went to Japan for the first time. And the only place I had time to go, because I really was only there for a few days, and I actually was a decent husband, didn't want to have my wife spend the whole trip just like waiting in stores for me.
Gotcha.
So the only place I spent time was HMV.
Mm.
But the HMV is, I mean, it's bonkers.
Crazy.
The 7-inch room.
Yeah.
You just walk up to the room, it's just an entire, perfectly labeled, like it was just what I hoped it would be. Like a little overpriced, but completely organized, tons of shit you don't see anywhere else. They love you in Japan, huh, Marley?
Yeah, I could tell you one thing about Japan, though. They have a lot of versions, like a lot of new records out there, like a lot of brand new old records. How can I, you know, like a lot of brand new Enjoy records, a lot of brand new Run DMC records, freshly so-and-so. But it's the old version, but it's freshly in plastic. It's new.
Where do they get it from?
That's what I always wanted to know that. Where are they getting all these new records from our old batches?
That's very interesting. Yeah. What do you suggest? Do you have a conspiracy theory on this?
I don't know. I just always, whenever I go to Japan, I'm like, wow, they had so many of these. They had so many of these.
No, like real originals still in the pressings, you're saying, right? I mean, still in the plastic, right?
I don't know.
Or so it appears.
So it appears.
All I know is the best thing that ever happened to me that for the rest of my life, I'll never match it, in my opinion, as a DJ, was I never had a ton of luck digging and finding like just like, I never met that guy who was selling his collection.
Mm.
Like, right, there was this kid in school who was a friend of mine named Gabe, and it always sort of annoyed me. He started DJing after me. And then, I told you this, and then he'd been DJing for like a year, and he met some guy who sold him his entire collection, like 2,000 records, old school hip hop, and I was just like, I was like so devastated by it. Wow. And then for me, the only come up I ever had was that was one store I went to in Baltimore one day. And you know, I'm from DC, so 45 minutes away, and I would take trips to go look around. And I found this one spot in a shopping center, and I walked in, and I went and looked at the wall, and it looked like they had records on the wall the way they do, like, in the movie Juice. Like, you know, the old little plastic things that would hold, like, 20, 12 inches. And I'm like, wow, that's an old school look. And this, because think about it, we're talking about, like, 99, 2000. It's late. Mm. And I looked around. I looked at this record, and I was like, I felt the plastic, and it felt, like, dusty. Mm. And I was like, and I looked at the shrink wrap, and I'm like, no, no, no. This never got repressed. This is some random shit. Mm. And they had, I opened one up. It was Strictly Business and Unfinished Business. I opened it up. It had the order forms for the sleeping bag t-shirts and shit. Wow. So I'm like, oh, these are legit.
Wow.
They had probably 30 copies of each sealed, ooh, Unfinished and Strictly Business. So ooh, I'm like, sorry, do you guys have anything else? She was like, oh, we have a whole back of that stuff. I was the only person there, and she just like let me. She was like, I'll give you whatever you want for $2. You just take whatever you want. Wow. So I just like carted off like 300 records. And that was the only time I ever super came up. I did two trips out there.
Wow.
But again, I wish that would happen now in my adult life where I'd have enough money to just be like, let me buy, I want it all.
Yeah. I would always want to ask Pete Rock, like, what was the most you ever spent on records at one time?
You wanted to ask your good friend that you talk to and see all the time?
Yeah, I would like to.
So just ask him.
Yeah, one day.
Text him, Molly.
I always wanted to ask him that. No, for real, because
he sat right here. He was here. You were here. He was there.
Pete, I want to ask you
I'll ask him another day.
Yeah, that's something I would like to ask him. Next time I see Pete, I'm going to ask him.
Yes, you should. What about you? What's the most you've ever... Are you like... crazy digger like that?
Let me tell
you
what's funny about me and digging. It's funny because I always had a lot of records from my brother, and I wasn't always the guy.
Larry Lair?
Yeah, Larry Lair. My brother Larry Lair. Third least not last.
Exactly. Third least not last.
but I always had a lot of records because of him, and I was funny with digging records because I wasn't always the guy looking and paying all this money to go find these records. I would just... You know, I had Hal Jackson's library at the radio station. So, you know, I always worked
there. And what did you take from that?
The symphony came from Hal Jackson's record.
But you stole the record or you just...
No, I would take it, sample it, and put it back.
I'm sure every time.
I put everything back.
Every single one?
Yes, everyone.
Cause your heart hope to die. Really? Oh, man, people used to come through my radio station, University of Maryland. Diamond D. By the time I got there, you had shit from there.
No BAU, though. Not your campus, BAU.
When I walked, because by the time I got to Maryland, they're like, oh, we have a library. And don't get me wrong, there's still probably great shit in that library. But when I walked in, I was like, the hip-hop section was like this many records. Like, soul was all gone. Everybody like, anytime an artist would come to town, they'd be like, all these artists, and people didn't know that their favorite artists were jacking them. Yeah. And they would come to college, and they'd be like, oh, man, you guys have a record library in here? We're just promoting our album. Mm-hmm. I'd love to take a look in your record library. Zonks. Like, out.
Of course, all day.
So what random gems you have in there that you could play for us?
Random gems. We was talking about me and my sample life. Because yes. I didn't really look for samples. I didn't really have to because I had a lot of them. And a lot of the samples that I used, I didn't use them because of the certain musicians that were on them. It's because it was funky and they was like street classics. So what I would do is just use it one time and probably throw it away. And, you know, maybe Nobody Beats the Biz beat. It came from one of my brother's records, an African record, and I believe I probably just sampled it and probably threw it away.
You don't know what it is?
A lot of times I was using a lot of samples back then, and I didn't even know the name of it. It was just hot.
When you look on who's sampled, do they usually get it right?
Yeah, usually do because the technology's out there to know what it was. But a lot of times when I was sampling, like...
Nobody Beats the Biz, the drums?
The beat, yeah.
Yeah, that's it is an African record.
It is an African record. African Music Today, I believe it is called.
Yeah, that's not the one that's Lafayette. No,
yeah,
that's
it's Lafayette.
Lafayette, right?
That's some Lafayette. Shit,
yeah. Let's see.
Same as Incarcerated Scarfaces.
Right, yeah. So when I first used that record, I didn't look for who was the musicians on it or whatever. Right. It was just funky to me. So I just used it. And probably after that, I probably put it on the side and never saw it again.
Right.
I wasn't really like spending money and going bee hunting and all that stuff. I just access to it.
Yeah, you just had an ill way of putting them together.
I had BLS Library back in the day. You know, you got to think about Hal Jackson and BLS Library. As a kid, I started off as an intern there, about 16 years old, and I'm like looking at this vast library.
Right.
You have to think they had all of the funk and everything from the 60s, 70s.
Now, most of that stuff was on 7-inch, right?
Yeah, they had a lot of 7-inches, but they had a lot of albums
as well. They play stuff off both.
Yeah, a lot of albums mostly.
So here's a officially listed on who sampled. The first sample for Nobody Beats the Biz. The name of the song is Heihachi. By Lafayette Afro Rock Band.
There you go.
Second sample they list is Fly Like an Eagle, Steve Miller.
Mm-hmm. Doom, doom, doom.
Nobody Beats the Wiz, they include just for the
words. Oh, that got dicey.
That's just for the love, you know.
Nobody.
Then they have Scratchin', the magic disco machine.
Did we use that? No, I don't believe that. That was something
yo,
else.
Is that him?
I'm trying to like recall the samples. Because I made so many records, I got to do that.
What's that record, though? What's that one?
I don't believe that was used. Scratchin' was used on the bridge.
But what is it, though? How's it go?
Boom, doo-doom, doo-doom, doo-doo-doom, boom. That horn. Yeah, there you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you putting it to your mic?
Can you guys hear it?
This is the bridge sound right here. That's it.
That's the
bridge sound.
Backwards.
No. Ah. What?
See, that bent backwards.
Can you play the bridge real quick?
You want me to play the bridge for you real quick? You want to play that for me? For real, for real?
Hold on.
We getting into it like that. You're saying that was it? The bridge. That's it. That horn right there is the backwards bridge horn.
Comes in at 13 seconds, which is 11, 12,
boom. Right there. Wow. Now that horn is... But what I did to create that effect, I would just turn the sample backwards, put reverb on it, then turn it forward, turn it back around, and the reverb will come first. So it's like, bang! Flip it backwards, the reverb first.
It's hot.
And it's like.
So you get a lot of drugs.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got MC Shan and Molly Marl in the house tonight.
I don't even know where the horn is.
Came from off tour. The sound, the main sound of the rock band. Where they come from.
Now, I would play the version without the horn first.
Every time they had
one or two get in. Wow.
That's that?
Yes.
That's crazy.
So that's the shit you did. You didn't have to find these ill, crazy loops. You would just take a sound and make an instrument.
Yeah.
And then you would play these instruments.
Yeah, basically take noise.
Yeah.
And count.
Because I would never use that. That sounds like that. What he played sounded like shit.
Yeah.
That sounds like a classic hip hop.
There
record.
You go. There you go.
Well, but the thing is, but Marley also has you have your share of records where you just found a sample too.
Of course, like I would say, Ain't No Half Steppin', where it was just like a loop that was just so hot. And, you know, and we had to go with it. It was just, I didn't have to do much to it because it was just so hot.
Blind Alley.
Yeah, that was real hot. So I was like, look, I don't got to do nothing to that but put an 808 so I can hear it coming up the block before it gets there. And that's all I really got to do. That was just so hot that it had to be what it was. I couldn't do anything to that one.
Damn. I mean, but does it make you have, do you have a different level of respect for people like yourself and the guys who really... I mean, you're essentially just a musician whose sounds come from these records,
yeah.
As opposed to like, I mean, truth be told, if you dig through records, you know, I could get a production credit on picking a great loop and looping it up.
Right,
it's a different
like, no
animal.
Disrespect to LES, but Life's a Bitch is just a fucking loop. No disrespect.
Hmm. Right, it's a classic.
It's one of the greatest Nas songs loop. Ever, but he just looped
he just a found
piece
a great
of
song.
The Gap Band record.
Classic loop. Sometimes you could have a classic loop.
It's fine.
Yeah, sometimes you could have a class.
But it's a different animal. This right. is a different kind of talent right. and work altogether.
Right.
I mean, it's the difference that people will say between Puffy and a lot of other people is that Puffy's biggest records were generally him saying, I like this sample. This is a hit. I know a hit. Oh, really?
I know
it's a hit, too. You know why? It was already a hit.
Billboard.
It's certified. Billboard, number one. Smash hit. If we play it again and rap on it, it's another hit. Do you have anything on you that people ask about all the time, or like a certain rarity that you know the people in Japan, for example, would bug the fuck out over that you have sitting in the stash right now?
It would probably be Eric B. as President a cappella, because nobody, I mean, I put it out there, I gave it to one person, and what happened, they gave it to everybody.
Who was that? Who's the person? Put him on blast.
Put him on blast right now?
Why not? We're not going to take that person.
It's all right.
Someone we know?
I'm not going to give him that type of
someone
publicity.
We know?
Everybody knows him. But I gave it to one person, but I only gave out two verses okay. to that one person. And I know it's the acapellas that everybody got of every
two experiment. Verses.
It's only two verses. So I know where it came from.
Ooh. Here's what I came in the door.
I said it before. That's enough.
That's all you need. I was about to record that.
Anyone get that? We got to loop that back. If you loop that back.
Now somebody's going to come out with a song with that little loop right there.
Do you know what I just paid for this weekend?
What you got?
Listen, I admit it. I know I'm going to be that guy. I've only been collecting 45s like a year and change, and I'm the guy who just spends money sometimes on the shit that I want, which is kind of a douchey move, though. You know, when you're the new DJ, and like I know that most people in my world aren't rich.
Man, you got money?
Yeah.
You like buying records?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
So, I, for example...
open the door. He's saying open the door.
Yeah, somebody's coming.
So I, for example, this week, I have a guy, this dude out in L.A., named Wax Addict.
Nice.
And there are people who I know probably have mixed feelings on this dude because he's an amazing digger and he sells shit in pristine condition Ooh. At a high price, right? Ooh. But I like the guy. He comes up with great records and I don't mind paying a high price, especially Syf. You love this. I was staying at my agent's house, Dipperstein's house. He came over. He brought the records to the house like a fucking drug dealer, wow. set them all out on the table and just let me go through shit.
Wow.
And I definitely copped the very rare 4th and Broadway label 45 of Ooh. Eric B. as President.
How much?
The sticker on it was 100. Mm. I think he probably, when I added up with everything else, it was something like 80, 90, Shit. Something like that.
How much did you buy?
I spent 300. I got like 25 records.
That's what's up.
No, but there are some things I know were overpriced that I paid for anyway. Like, there were a few like I got the sample for... I Can't Stand the Rain, Missy.
Gotcha.
I could find that if I dug around probably for a couple bucks. But to get a nice clean copy of it for $15, $20, I'm okay.
That's cool. That's
why are you cool. justifying? I worked hard
because I feel a little bit like, you know, I would have looked down
what people think.
I know.
Fuck. Hey, fuck off. He bought a record.
By the way, we're talking to imaginary people. I don't even know if they're mad. I make up my head that they're mad. I mean, I don't even care.
DJ Scratch. We'll give you shit for it.
Oh, no. Scratch? Let me tell you about
Just
Scratch.
Blaze. Right.
I love Scratch. No, not Just Blaze. Just Blaze is one of the people that people hate on for spending money on records.
Right.
Just
right.
gets a lot of hate because he'll just be like, oh, well, here's the thing. Since I'm fucking rich right. making hip-hop records, I'd like to just go spend money on hip-hop records.
That's
I'm
going to
buy a whole store. Like, that's when people get mad about that stuff. I don't. Now, Just, who I love, but who's out of his mind and says things to me, I'm like, oh, what about this? That record's not rare. I can get that for $5. I'm like, where? I look every day in every city. I look for records. He'll be like, oh, hip hop 45s aren't rare. I'm like, Just, yes, they are. I look every day. They're rare. He's like, I have six. I'm like, you've been collecting for 30 years. Anyways, I digress. So what is it that people love getting the acapellas of shit?
It's, you know, because recently,
right?
everybody's been going digital. So all the masters been getting transferred over to digital. So in between the transfers, somebody's like, hey, let me get those acapellas. So they're getting in the streets. A lot of acapellas are getting available to songs that you would never think so. Yeah. I got Impeach the President acapella. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, I killed the vocals all these years.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the 100 Drippers in the house tonight. And they just got back from Washington, D.C.
How is there acapella for that?
Hey.
There's acapella for everything. Yeah. You can go through the multi-track.
Yeah.
But someone did that for the James Brown records? Well, it's so funny, by the way.
Is that James Brown?
No, that's actually the Honey Drippers.
Oh, the Honey Drippers. I'm pretty sure it's just Honey Drippers. But it's so funny, like for shit like that from that era, right? I'm sorry, President. When I hear the word President, I just instantly think James Brown. But when everything from that era, the idea of getting the acapella is particularly funny. When everything that's notable about those stuff is the music.
Right.
Like Impeach the President. All I think about
is when people cut that part. Ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
That's fucking.
Is that the Ladies and Gentlemen?
Yeah, that's the Scratch.
Actually,
that's the EPMD, ladies and gentlemen. That's the
Ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't have. By the way, I don't have that Honey Drippers. Impeach the President 45. Not common. Ugh.
No.
No.
Wow.
You piece of shit.
What? I know. Just not even having it. I don't have it.
I went to some Goodwill store yesterday to drop off some stuff, and there was like a crate of records.
You go look?
I did, there was a couple 45s sticking out, seeing if there's anything worthwhile for you. Because I don't dig anymore. I just put my hand in. I was like...
And anything?
No,
shit?
No. I mean, it might have been... I didn't recognize
it. You'll recognize it. You can tell pretty quickly if it's shit or not.
I can't tell. I'm going to tell you. I never got that. I can't. I wasn't the guy to be like, oh, just by the title or by the cover. Because Pete was able to do that. He said, look at the cover, man. You could tell it's some funk.
Oh, yeah.
It's some, you could tell.
I was never that
I'm good. 9 times out of 10 now. I'm proud of that. I'm at the point where based on the way the label looks, the name of the group, and the look, if there's a cover art, the look. I agree with Pete. You could pretty much be like, this is going to be some funky shit. Like, but the crazy thing is, from that era, there's so many good groups who I've never heard of. Right. But the difference, Marley, between me and you is you're going to know who most of those groups are. At least a lot of them. You'll be like, oh, I've heard of them. I've heard that one record.
Yeah, probably by hearing it.
But would you buy that record that the Bridge sound was on?
No. I got to tell you, that I wouldn't buy. But that I wouldn't buy no matter what. I got to tell you, I wouldn't even buy that now if I saw it. Knowing the sample. Because I'm like, what am I going to do? But everyone hear that? That was it. But you can't.
Hey,
but
imagine it backwards. Reverb. And then play it forward again.
Yeah, you can't do that to DJs. So you got to pick what records actually make sense to play the sample of.
But the actual break was a disco break, and it was a disco break that everybody was using in hip-hop back in the day. That is a real prominent break for hip-hop, that scratching. That was really prominent for hip-hop. So that's why I used it, because I remembered how people used to react to that. So I was like, look, let me just make some noise and put it backwards. And that's what became of it.
How organized is your vinyl collection?
I'm very unorganized. I'm not organized with it.
Unorganized?
Unorganized, yeah.
Really?
It's kind of like all over the place. You see, I got like a garage full of stuff over there, a room over there full of stuff.
And the other room is the studio.
Yeah.
Where the House of Hits, where a lot of people recorded back in the days, right?
Yes.
Don't you have all the reels and stuff?
Yeah, we could go through some reels.
Those are organized?
Yeah, those are organized. My reels are organized.
In what order?
Actually, they're numbered as I was doing stuff. So
it's actually in chronological order?
Yeah, as stuff was happening.
So one LL might be here, one LL might be over here.
Yeah.
It's in one section. All together.
Yeah, it's in one section. But what happened with LL recently?
What happened?
He
something happened?
No, you know, he through here, what he did, I think last year, he got all his masters, because he owns all his masters, and right. I had, like, I Need Loves, I had all the LL songs, even the songs I didn't produce, right. Rock the Bells, I got the acapellas to that, too,
nice.
But I had all the masters, because I was doing remix albums, you know, when we was working together, and so he was looking for his master. I was like, dude, I got stuff that I didn't produce here. And what he did, what LL did, he digitized his whole
he came
catalog.
Here to do that?
He came, we took it, we took all the tapes, and we got them baked by DST. DST does that, the DJ.
Yeah, really?
And, that's his job now. He's like the tape baker.
Well, what does that mean?
That, because, you know, the tapes get so old, over 20 years old, you can't play them anymore. So you have to put them in.
It's like oven.
An oven. They put them in a real oven. Yeah, they put them in the oven at a certain temperature for a certain amount of time. Then you pull it out. Then you're able to play it like once or twice. You get two plays out of it. So while you're playing it back, you're making a digital copy. And then after that, it's over. Because, you know, tapes that's 20 years old, multi-track tapes, you have to bake them to play them. And they play once or twice, and that's it.
You can't bake them again after
that. After that.
Now, what about your stuff? Shit. Your stuff had to be baked too?
Yeah, a lot of my stuff did. A lot of my earlier Cold Chillin' stuff. I digitized all of that way earlier in the game. I did that like maybe 10 years ago. But
do some of those still play fine?
A lot of them didn't. I had to get my 16 track tapes baked. DST did it for me.
And that was it. And then you just got them off that again. You just got like another digital copy, and then that was it.
Yeah, I just put them onto digital. But a lot of my earlier stuff that I made was on 4-track and 8-track. Like a lot of the Cold Chillin' stuff. I was doing a lot of records on 4-track. So early in the game, I went digital. I went digital real early, because I knew that was the future. And I was like, look, I can't. You know, these tapes are not going to last forever, because you know how it is with a cassette. You try to play an old cassette over 20 years old, it could pop on you. It's going to drag. Why does it do? Because the tape sticks together. Now, if you bake some of those cassettes, they'll play good.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, right now you are in the middle of the Juan Epp podcast. Juanito is showing me huge breasts on the Instagram account just.cleavage. I think I'm going to follow that. They're not a sponsor, but I think I'm gonna follow that. I hope you're enjoying Marley Marl Part 2, and I want to thank our great friends over at Squarespace. Guys, if you are trying to build a website, Juanito, you need a new website? Let me tell you something. You do, okay? And I'm gonna get your life together. Squarespace.com. It is such an easy way to build a website. And not like build it an easy Squarespace and it looks bootleg. It's a way to build it beautiful, if you will, okay? Have a website that's easy to do and looks incredible and is super easy. And guess what? They support the Juan Epstein podcast. So if you want to build a website, you want to build a blog, you want to build an online store, anything you want to do, you can do it at squarespace.com with the code, wait for it, Juan Ep. Yes, squarespace.com, use the code JuanEp. Not only will they hook you up with a great deal because of it, but you're also supporting the Juan Epstein podcast, and you can build a great website. Shout out to Squarespace, squarespace.com. Build it beautiful. Back to Marley Marl, part D.
It seems like an obvious question, but what's your favorite format for music?
My favorite format being like... To play?
Like vinyl, cassette, CD.
My favorite format could be. I like the sound of a. You know what I used to like? The sound of a cassette recorded from the radio.
Yeah.
It's something about it. Nothing sounds like that.
Yeah,
I agree.
You could go back to the old tapes.
I got a lot of old Kid Capri BLS tapes.
Yeah, that and sound they're awesome. Airy, right? They're like, you can hear it. Nothing. The radio don't sound like that no more.
No.
Nothing sounds. Everything's digital. That was like analog. Nothing sounds like how people used to a tape from the boombox, taping off the radio and then hearing it back. Nothing's like that.
I went to Jamaica a couple weeks ago,
uh-huh.
And the dude, I bought some CDs from the dude on the street, and he had a fucked up speaker, an old amp, a weird equalizer. He was playing it from a DVD player, and it sounded amazing. Just like the speaker in the street, the tweeter was like screwed on. I'm like, I wish I had this in my house. So this sounds better than any Beats Pill or fucking my JBL speakers, studio speakers. Like, this shit sounds, I bought like 40 or 50 Jamaican CDs because they all sounded
so good
so
there.
So good.
By the way, I have a new, here's what Sif, I figured out who I want our sponsor to be.
Okay.
I don't know if the company.
I don't know if that's how it works, but okay.
I don't know if this company exists yet. I want the company who's their marketing campaign behind their headphones is going to be so and so. Let's say it's Koss, because Koss does have some good regular headphones. Mm. Like Koss. Because $400 is fucking insane for a human being to pay for headphones. And they make that. Everyone's getting lied to about headphones.
Mm.
You do not need $400 headphones. Mm. There's a reason we were always good with the 7506s, which retail at $100. It's a good headphone for $100. So if there's a company that instead of... Because now when everyone... Like Cal dropped the new ones, right? They're nice headphones. They're Bang Olufsen. It's a famous company, blah, blah. But they're $400 again.
Mm.
Why can't a company come out and be like, yo, we're making headphones that are just like everyone else's. And they're not cheap because we know no one's going to buy $30 headphones.
Yeah.
But they're $149. And it's all you need.
Are they colored? Are they colored?
I know.
Do they have lambskin?
I can't.
Do they have digital lights on them going up?
I know. Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Because your headphones are your stereo system now. That's how much you pay for a stereo system.
But the thing is, there's only a certain level of niceness they can really get to. Like, the idea that when you get up to $400 or $500, you're getting so much more than you're able to get at $150. It's just not true. Like, they're just taking your money. It's
That's true.
Thank you. And everyone's bought into this. Those are 7506s. You're wearing them right now. Comfortable.
This is my third pair of them.
They sound amazing.
There you go, yeah.
What did you say?
I still DJ with those? No, I use the Meek Mill ones. But I have plenty of those.
Well, you know who I trust when it comes to headphones?
Meek Mill.
Of course. All I will say, he's just been in jail for 6 months. Meek now knows exactly what he needs for headphones. But it's just so funny. They'll put anyone's name on it. Like, I would never associate Meek with headphones.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, well, he's a rapper. And it's just, I don't know. I'm very big about sound systems these days. And I think it was funny you point that out because it just doesn't add up. Sound is the one thing that over time, technology doesn't really make it better.
That's right.
It really kind of peaked. It got to a point where, like, I would love to go back and hear what people's stereo systems sounded like. Like that I was at a friend's house the other day. That woman I've told you about. She got shot out on the last one, Epstein. I'll shout her again. Mm-hmm. Betsy Koch.
Out with women?
Whoa, her and her fiance. Betsy Koch from Funny or Die, right?
Oh, yeah.
She
has
this awesome house in
Los Angeles.
Los Feliz or something. Yeah, some random place outside of, in LA. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the layout of the house and I'm like, how long has this house been here? And she was like, oh, since like the 30s or 40s. And I was like, yo, just by the layout and the look at the living room and the rug, and there was like an extra room. I'm like, the kind of quaaludes that were getting done in this living room in the 1970s, just because like you could just tell. Mm. I want to walk into those houses in 1977 and listen to that stereo system.
Probably a Macintosh system back in the day.
Clean. It was probably just the warmest sound. I'm not trying to be like that dude, but digital sound.
Purist.
I'm not trying to be the overly purist guy. Mm. I heard someone playing a record on the radio the other day, and I said to Alexa, oh no. It was on Sirius, which sounds like a different kind of shit, in my opinion. Sirius, and I'm a fan of Sirius, the product.
Right.
But the actual satellite sound of radio ain't anything like FM.
Right,
it sounds like ass.
Right.
And I said to Alexa, you know how on Shade they have like random DJs playing like Saturday afternoon, like noon? It was a good DJ playing great records. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, Alexa, this is a 128 BPS MP3 this guy's playing right now. Like, it sounded nasty.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Between a low quality MP3 and Sirius satellite, it sounded like shit. I was like, this is, you want to talk about sound, Syfe?
Wow.
These mini disc decks.
Mini disc.
That's a fine technology.
It was?
Oh, I love mini discs.
Mini discs, but it didn't go nowhere. That was
went
quick.
Went nowhere.
It went nowhere very quick.
Well, the only company that had the rights to make their actual music on mini disc pre-recorded was Sony, who invented the mini disc.
There you go.
So you could get Sony Columbia shit on mini disc, like Billy Joel's whole catalog.
Wow.
Mariah's whole catalog.
They were trying to go for it?
They went for it, but it was like $18.
Yeah.
But I understand it. It's an adorable product. Who wouldn't want it?
Is it durable?
Durable? You didn't have one?
I have one. I never used it.
I found it to be incredibly durable. Like, you could fucking... You mean the actual discs or the players?
The discs.
Oh my God,
more
the disc you could chuck. Oh,
I guess they couldn't scratch,
they're protected.
Right?
Yeah, they're protected.
And
inside.
Not only that, and you could edit, you can erase the whole thing over and over and over and over. You lose no quality.
And you can edit your songs. Yeah, you can edit your songs on side. It's all digital. What I found out about that is like they put, it's like it takes the information from the DAT and puts it in the machine, then plays it. That's how
really?
It works. Yeah, it works that quick. Kind of like CDJs with pitch control back in the day.
Right.
It's like, oh, you're pitching. Wow. But what it is, all of the sound was already in the hard drive. It would load up real quick inside your CD player.
And so, that's what you mean? That's how they had the master control
pitch,
on, so you could adjust the speed and voice?
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Of doing that? Well, you noticed it?
I don't like it. I like my records to sound a little sped up.
You don't mind the voice sounding sped up, too?
Yeah.
You like the pitch up a little?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
You
I
like
don't
the
that
pitch
button
up,
where
the pitch
like you're, it's mad fast, but it sounds exactly the same.
Right, right. You want it to sound a little fast.
You want the pitch up.
Yeah.
See, but here's another thing about mini disc that made it better than DAT. I had a lot of situations with DAT, and I never had a DAT player, but like at the radio station and stuff, they'd always record shit on DAT.
Mm.
And you could over-modulate it.
Mm.
Like someone could have a recording, and I'd go back and listen to it, and I'm like, this is shit. It's all overdone. Mini disc, for whatever reason, the way they set up recording on mini disc players,
it
wouldn't do it. It stopped at a certain point, it compressed, and that was
compressed
it. You weren't going to have it be shit.
Well, you know what I'd like to hear these days? I'd like to hear how an 8-track would sound on an old system like that.
I don't even know what 8-track sounds like, to be honest.
You know?
Popular, old
8-track back in the day.
What are we talking about?
Why are we talking just about formats?
Because you asked me what's my favorite.
I know,
format.
And then we went on a hole. That's where we ended up.
That's where we are. 8-tracks, man. Pull out the 8-tracks. The best sounding, man. There you go.
I never really had any experience with HRS, unfortunately. We talked last time about a lot about the old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk a lot about some of the like slightly later stuff. Like we mentioned it, but didn't go into detail on it. For example, on the making of the Lords of the Underground album.
Mm.
That's a pretty crazy album.
Yes.
Made
right over there next door.
That was made right in the next room.
So you were fine with people from Newark, New Jersey, just walking around your house?
I'm cool. Mm. I mean, let me tell you, I'm
they're probably still here.
Let me tell you, I'm Newark's second son, so you know Newark is not too far. It's down the street.
I know. That's why I would never live here.
Too close to Jersey. You're in New York. I'm too close to Jersey. Doesn't make any sense.
No, but for real though, it was cool because I always had like a special love for my Jersey cats, man. It's real because Jersey always had it a hard way.
I love them 100%.
Yeah. Well, it was always a hard struggle because
you love them outside the house.
Outside the house,
you love them.
Yeah, it was always a hard struggle for Jersey cats because you know, they always on the side of New York, so they always get overlooked. But there's a lot of talent out there. And when I, you know, when I ran into...
Listen, you have to face reality.
What's that?
You are a suburb of the greatest city of all time. Lose the fucking complex. Just get used to it.
Yeah, you don't see Big Boy walking around complaining nonstop that he happens to be in the group of Andre 3000.
Yeah, it is what it is, man.
You're next to New York.
Just be you. Don't worry about what the fuck we're doing. Just be you.
That's why I tell him. Just be dope and make it pop through. Look, it didn't stop Redman. Ain't stop La.
You know, it didn't make a difference at all.
Here's
the biggest problem with Jersey artists. You might not understand the connection, but I'm going to explain it. No U-turns. I mean, it's just, it's a fucked up mentality to have a human being, you know what I'm saying? Because
right.
In life, you should be able to turn around and go back. Not in Jersey. There's a certain level of stubbornness to that. It's like, no,
right.
I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to turn, and I'm going to turn.
Take a roundabout.
I'm going to do a roundabout instead. Fuck out of here. I wonder, do people who don't live in this area know that that's a thing?
No.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this out of state and you don't know anything about New Jersey... There's no fucking U-turns in the entire state. They have these roundabouts. You have to make a turn.
Yeah, if you're on the highway, you have to like wait for a sign that says U-turn. You get off, go all the way
around.
It's
like an exit, and that's the only way to turn around. Yeah. It's absolutely insane.
It's probably safer, though.
It probably is safer. You know what? You would probably do avoid some accidents there.
Yeah, yeah.
So how'd you meet those guys?
Basically, my cousin, he was in Shaw University with them, and he's like, yo, there's some dope guys I have from Newark. That's, you know, and I went and checked them out. And I had the idea of a name, Lords of the Underground, already, and I was like trying to put a group to it. And when I saw those guys, I was like, "Yeah, that's Lords of the Underground." It was real energetic, and they still rocking.
They was fine with it.
Yeah,
they wanted to like the name.
Yeah,
what was the name before?
New Jersey Funk.
Yeah, no, good job.
Yep, that was the right decision. Did they ever feel bitter that they got the worst Pete Rock remix of all time?
I don't know.
What was that?
Flow On.
Oh, I don't remember. Oh, you didn't like that one.
But come on, you know, Pete's like my favorite ever, just about, but just you saying, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all you need to
know. Shit?
It just didn't, I don't know, it wasn't Pete.
There you go.
For some reason, it just wasn't Pete.
He had a rough day.
Now, it's Pete, I forgive you.
Forgiven.
People were hitting me up about the TJ Swan album that we talked about the last time with you.
TJ
Because you said
Swan.
You had the whole album here.
Yeah.
In this house.
I got TJ Swan pieces. For real.
You give us a little sample?
What's his name?
TJ Swan. Remember he used to sing on Business Records back in the days?
Nobody beats the biz. He didn't just say it. You're joking, right?
No, really.
He wants to know his real name. You referred to TJ Swan from a line from The Vapors verbatim? Yeah. Really? He didn't just do that.
He did. He was like, no, you know TJ Swan. He sang on my records.
Yeah, you remember TJ Swan.
Nobody beats the biz. We'll check it.
We'll check it.
Well, back in the day.
Back in the day before.
Oh,
this
my God. That was insane.
Hold on. Don't cut this off.
Bring it down.
Yo, the chorus is mean as shit.
Ah. Now, the guys on the chorus, that's actually Around the Way Girl singers. That sung Around the Way Girl.
It's not even TJ Swan?
No, he didn't do the chorus. He just did his verse.
And who are those guys?
A group called The Flex. They sung on Around the Way Girl.
Yeah.
With LL Cool J.
How come you never gave those guys credit back in the day?
The Flex?
Yeah, just like in general, like certain records. How come you never said featuring so-and-so?
Because they wasn't featured. And they wasn't featured on L's record. Let me see.
The hook is kind of important.
Yeah, what I tried to do, I got them a deal though. They was on MCA, and you know, I think Lou Silas signed them, and we was gonna do a full-fledged album called The Flex, but it just never.
Yeah, but why in general? He's right. Sykes right. Back in those days, a lot of times, someone would sing a hook and not necessarily get a feature credit.
That's true.
Which is sort of weird. It's just like, wasn't the thing that was done.
Yeah, features came later.
Yeah, and features that would have meant like the world to a lot of careers, right? You know what I'm saying?
In a way, but you know.
But some did, though. Some got.
You get the recognition because people know who T.J. Swan is from the business.
Because he said, my name is T.J. Swan. My name is T.J. Swan.
Yo, I gotta tell you. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yo, I gotta tell you, that record was kind of mean.
Yeah.
I think that would have.
Why didn't it come out? Why didn't it come out?
Well, he.
He told us the story in the last one.
Yeah, T.J. Swan had a, like I said, he had a deal with Arista. And he was, Clive Davis really was into him and put money up.
And remember? And then he told us, and then they got a phone call. Yeah. And you said, I just heard you say on the podcast, you compared it to like a reggae label. that Cold Chillin' called and was like, nah, that T.J. Swan's our guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it became like a thing, and then it
it just went
But
away.
Never even bootlegs never came out. Other shit got caught up in that label mix and used to come out.
Right, I know.
You didn't leak it.
Yeah, T.J. Swan, after that, he went to... He went to West Coast somewhere.
You said he's in Colorado now.
Yeah, there you go. He went to Colorado and raised his son, his daughter. And he's just chilling right now. He's like, he just left the music thing alone.
Well, you have another song?
Another T.J. Swan.
Give us one more. Give us one more.
That's enough for T.J. Swan.
Come on.
That's enough?
That's not the only one you have on the computer, don't lie.
Probably the only thing I got on the computer. That's enough for T.J. Swan.
I knew it. That was, why that one? Why is that what you have on the computer?
That was one of my real... songs that I like from T.J. Swan. Everybody loved this song called Mellow Love, T.J. Swan.
A different one, or is that one?
No, that one. This one.
That's called Mellow Love?
Yeah. It's like what I did in the Mr. Magic era. I think I rocked it like once or twice and got it kind of warm, and then everybody's like, oh, it's T.J. Swan joint, but it just never really came out.
Yo, the intro with the sample, yo, why don't we just press it? Can you just press that one up? just a little 45?
You know, like,
just
press a little 45,
just press
right?
it up on a 45.
Throw the acapella on there.
Throw the acapella on it. Sell that for like a, you know, you sell for $100 a pop. You'd be ringing in Japan.
That's real.
And you know what? And you just send TJ just blind, just be like, yo, here's $10,000, man. We just sold 100 copies of this 45 for $100.
That's real talk.
That song was pretty dope. I love when an artist comes out who there's hype for, and at the beginning the name gets sampled and scratched, or like there's another notable name on it.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Let me see what other questions I got here.
TJ Swan.
Rock the house.
From the Twitterverse. Someone asked you about the Bridge 2001. He doesn't even remember that song. It's all right.
I do. That was with
Tragedy, right?
Yeah, Bridge 2001. Yeah, Bridge 2001. I actually it was a 12-inch I put out with the Bridge with MC Shan on one side, and I put the acapella on that 12-inch because you know the acapella was never available to the people. Then I did a Bridge 2001. I took a nice little sample from Scarface movie when he was escaping from the shootout, and still a hot beat behind it, and that beat was crazy. That was
this
a hot
is the
joint.
The red vinyl you put out.
Yeah,
the, not
yeah.
The label was red.
Yeah, yeah,
red. Yeah, he gave me that here once. That's where I have the Bridge acapella instrumental.
Yeah, so I'll do that.
But your instrumentals back in the day were different.
Let me tell you, I never gave out the real instrumentals back in the day because I already knew that I didn't want nobody going to try to make a better record, you know, than my guys rhyming on it. So I never put out an instrumental to a lot of my songs. I would put out a dub version. You hear the vocals coming up in and out, so you can't rhyme over it, you know. But now you could just loop up a little section. Yeah. But back then it was like you had to rely on the wax, and I did that because I didn't.
You
want,
didn't want people rhyming on it.
I didn't want people rhyming over my beats on
that you
like
didn't approve
tapes and stuff. Yeah, stuff like that. I just wanted, I want you to hear my artist on those beats.
Right.
So I never did instrumentals until like after the 2000s.
But even the Bridge instrumental on that vinyl that we're talking about, it's not sequenced the same as the Bridge record.
You know why? Because the Bridge record was an edit. It was a re-edit. And what happened, the instrumental that ran straight out was just probably how the masters were.
Right.
When I did the Bridge 12-inch, it was a re-edit. Because my nephew Fredo, he let the tape into the neighborhood, and I was like, "Damn, I have to make something different from what's out there." So I did a re-edit,
God damn.
And that was the 12-inch.
Fredo.
Well, I mean, it's Thank God for Frito. Then yeah, I think God about it.
He blew it up.
He changed it.
Yeah.
Can we talk about his name, Frito?
Matter of fact, do you have any Fritos? Any snacks?
It's a delicious, delicious snack.
Honey barbecue twists.
Ooh, I never had those. They're actually my house, and I haven't eaten them.
Eat them now.
I can't. One of our listeners just asked.
Right now?
Yeah.
You're talking to them?
I just did.
But this is the past. That's crazy.
Whoa. Mind blown.
That's crazy.
But they said if you could have, you know, completely shaped what happened with the Juice Crew, mm-hmm. how would things have played out? With the Jews.
It would play out exactly the way it did. I mean, it was evolution. We had a great time. We made some great records together. And, you know, we made history. So it would play out the same way it basically did because I couldn't stay there forever. You know, we can't stay in the same place forever. I think the way everything played out, everyone turned into their own artists. Everybody was doing their own thing that they saw their life coming to. And it just worked out. I wouldn't do it any different.
Oh, no, I think I was wondering if maybe you thought maybe if the artists would have got, you know, like their money. But that's whatever,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's the label thing.
That would have been nice. Yeah.
That would have been nice. Me too.
Yeah, you too.
Me too. I was a producer. Look, let me tell you something. If you think they got jerked and they only made those little bit of records, I made
every single one.
So, hey.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Who in the Juice Crew do you think you're surprised they didn't have more of an impact career-wise post the Juice Crew?
Who would I say? I'm real proud of Master Ace. I could say Master Ace I'm proud of because he took it from there and took it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And when he came to the Juice Crew, he was always more talented than he could. He was way more talented than they let him be. But who could I think everybody. I can't say anybody, and you know I'm not disappointed by anybody. Everybody did what they had to do. Look at Biz. Biz is on TV now. Kane's still working.
How is it that Biz is the richest one?
You know,
it's crazy
because you know Biz was like more animated.
Yeah,
he was like a real character. He was like really entertaining.
Yeah,
you know this is the entertainment world. If you're so cool and you're sitting back, you're not entertaining nobody but yourself. But he was an entertainer.
Super.
He went and took that extra step and did it. You know, I always tell every artist, I tell every artist this. There's two sides of being an artist. You can make good music, but do you have the attraction to pull people to you? That's two different jobs you have to have.
Yeah.
Because you can have the wackest music. We've seen it all the time. Whack music, but you have the attraction.
Yeah.
So everybody's coming to you.
The Kevorka.
So, right. You have to have, it's two things.
Kevorka? Kevorkian?
You don't know what
Kevorkian is? You're about killing people? No, I don't know what Kevorka is.
Do you ever watch a show, I don't know, called Seinfeld? You ever seen that show?
I've seen Seinfeld before. What's the Kevorka episode?
Where George becomes a Latvian Orthodox.
Oh, yes.
And Kramer makes the nun switch out.
Yes.
Because he has the Kevorka.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm really sorry.
Because he wants to be black so bad, he doesn't respect the Jew comedy.
I know. I'm sitting here worrying about what's what in hip hop.
Watching Martin. You watching Martin again?
I'm sitting there watching.
You fucking watching Martin again?
Marty Ma!
I blew it.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
So Juice Crew.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm talking about what happened to guys. Who would surprise you the least? If they did one more really big thing in music.
Out of the Juice Crew?
Yes.
Surprised me the least?
No, if all of a sudden you heard that Blank has an album that everyone's talking about again, and it actually created a real, almost the way, like, for example, Killer Mike and LP have a big thing with this book, Run the Jewels. Mm. You know, the biggest thing they've probably done.
What do you call big?
It's tons of critical acclaim. They're touring and selling out 1,000-seater, person seaters all over the world. They're making good money. I mean, I'm sure Killer Mike and LP are making more money than they ever made doing fucking company flow and solo Killer Mike stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Biz. I could see Biz recreating his career again with a hot record. And, you know, he's already... You know, what's funny about Biz, he's on the kids' TV show. So a lot of kids... know who he is.
That's a good point.
You know,
and they've grown up, and they're growing up.
Yeah, they'll grow up. They're like 5, 6 years old. Oh, 7 years old. Oh, excited about him. So they have a life to live. He could do something for them.
Do you think Syfe, since he had such a big hit with a song about boogers, that maybe the angle would be this time he does a song about shit?
He made one, sitting on a toilet bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He I forgot. Back in the day, he did.
Did he have a doo-doo song, too?
No, I didn't do that song.
I thought he had a song with doo-doo in the title.
Yeah, he did a doo-doo. He did a doo-doo. He did, actually, the doo-doo. This is the doo-doo.
Right, he had a doo-doo song, right. A booger song.
I don't want any of this.
That's not up your alley?
No.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say the guy I still think could drop a meaningful body of work is Kane.
Kane?
Yeah, but that may be biased just on the fact that he looks so good still. He, like, mm-hmm. seems so capable. His live show's still so good. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he hasn't dropped new music in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Was it G-Rap, I think.
G-Rap just did a project, that project with Necro when we had them in for one episode.
I think G-Rap, there was talks of him doing MMG, right?
Yes. He almost signed with
Would that have mattered?
Yeah, almost.
I mean, listen, I think he could have done something that made some money, but I think he made money anyway.
It would have been interesting. Really yes. interesting.
I don't know, when those type of labels sign old school rappers that they love, it doesn't ever seem to work out right.
No, you just hope that they get a good check.
Yeah, that's true.
That's my favorite thing
Has
about
Has anyone
Rasta.
Ever popped off that way?
No. Not really, because you see a lot of artists getting those deals. Like you said, a lot of 90s artists are getting these big deals right now, and it is a good check. I get, it must be out of respect.
I respect even Mob signing a 50 didn't really
No, and that wasn't right. that late.
And that wasn't that right. long of yeah. a gap between... Yeah. I don't know, it's something about signing to another artist.
But I do love in particular the way that Ross likes to just look out. Like,
no doubt.
Dude, he put Special Ed on the Magnificent remix. Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's dope.
Like, he just always does really dope stuff. Now, I just you know, we're going to have Marley show us around the spot a little bit. But I did just pull up the Marley Marl production discography in case we forgot anything that we'd be like remiss if we
you
didn't
did the mention. Shy record, right?
Yeah, with Shy Hove. With Jay-Z.
Hove we talked about that right? a little bit last yeah. time. We talked about Find Out, which you did for Fat Joe, which I fucking love.
Yes, yes.
Which was crazy. In 97.
What do you
War Report. Sorry, he did a Capone Bone in LA, LA, of course.
LA, LA remix. Yeah,
he didn't like yeah. LA, LA remix.
Remix, yeah, we talked about that. You're not a fan.
Yeah.
Sorry, no
disrespect. He's pop.
No disrespect. Yeah.
One love to my
I like the Biggie mom. That used the same sample. No, it's just that I love LA, LA original.
Oh, the original. No doubt.
Which is just Dog Pound, burm, New burm. York, New York.
Burm, burm. Yeah.
You did TLC Records.
Yeah, TLC. Actually, my first recording sessions here after I revamped the studio was TLC.
Really?
They broke the place in. And they lived there for about a month.
In the house?
Yeah, they lived there.
They would stay here?
They stayed here for about a month, yeah.
Did you get busy with any of them?
No.
Anyone smash T-Boss?
Nah, huh? Which one? Won't talk, man.
Which one would
That'd
you...
That'd be in my movie.
Which one would you have gotten busy with?
Who would I...
Which one was the hottest in person in those days? Good question, Syfe.
You know who... I was really close with Left Eye. Left Eye was my girl. He was real cool.
Just because you like rap?
Yeah, she was a rapper. You know.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
She didn't like to burn it down, so she was cool.
Did she ever burn down your Tim's in your
no,
bathtub?
No. She's like,
you know what? Let's not even. What is the, I need to know what the booming system sample is.
Which one? The beginning?
The main bass line.
Oh, that was, I originally sampled Hold On.
What is Hold On? Is that played?
In Vogue. What it was.
No, I know it's In Vogue. Did they sample something?
I replayed for, it was like one mix two, it was replayed. The first one that came out was a straight sample.
But do you know if that was a sample or they played that?
The In Vogue producers? I think that was known. That was the known original beat they made.
They made the original beat.
Let's see how it's credited on good old Who Sampled.
Yeah.
The Boomin' System contains samples of
The Boomin',
Funky Drummer, James Brown.
Obviously.
The Payback, James Brown.
Obviously.
Hold On, In Vogue. Mm-hmm. And then it says Cheesy Rap Blues by LL Cool J.
Yeah.
Bring the Noise by Public Enemy. And You Gots to Chill by EPMD.
Wow. They got paid off that and I didn't use all that stuff?
So it says.
This says it's on there doesn't mean they got paid.
Yeah, good point.
That's true.
So, Marley, you want to show us a few things in this studio and other things you have around here?
Sure.
Are we ready for the move?
We need about 10 minutes to move the lights.
Right, okay. But, like, when you edit it, it's going to look like we just jumped into the next room, right?
Totally. Yeah.
All right, cool. Fantastic. Although, you know what, though? We can, just for the purpose of not wasting our time, while they're moving around, we could all just keep the conversation. Oh, no, you can't. Do you have to stop recording, too, or no?
So do we have anything else to talk about here while we're here with this setup?
Not unless there's something specific to play.
What about what's the other group you had? K-Def.
K-Def and Lario.
Real Live Shit?
Yeah, let's talk about them.
Oh, let's talk about them.
Yeah, let's talk about Real Live.
K-Def, really, Real Live.
Real Live, K-Def and Lario. Who really were K-Def and Lario?
K-Def and Lario, well, Kevin used to work at K-Def. And he wanted to...
Work here, meaning at your studio.
Work at House of Hits. He was a staff producer here.
Right.
So what happened, he told me that his cousin could run. And, you know, he brought his cousin over, which was Larry. And they got together now.
Was there ever beef between Larry, Lara, and Larry O?
No.
Larry beef?
No Larry beef.
All right, good.
But basically, Reef checked them out. Reef went crazy over them.
Oh, really?
And signed them. And, you know, that was the beginning of them. And, you know, they had some dope songs, a little hardcore, it was like a little hard.
Oh, a little? That album is hard as shit.
You listen to the whole album?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have it, The Turnaround?
The Turnaround's the shit.
Stop it.
Yeah, that was
Real Live
shit
with Crime is Money, that shit. Woo! You know if we do it at the same time, you know it means something.
Yeah.
If everyone yells woo like that, you know it's hard as shit.
Remember the Wu-Tang remix they had?
Yeah, with Ghost and Ray.
Come on,
Real Live Shit remix.
Yeah,
I don't remember any of this.
It was all on Big Beat, right?
Yeah, all on Big Beat. It's like that was under.
Yeah, shout out to my nephew, Craig Kalman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I wasn't a huge Real Live fan.
I don't think anyone was, to be honest with you. They were pretty fucking underground.
Yeah,
they didn't make it. It didn't get very far, did they?
Not far at all. As far as it should have, but you know, they was real hard.
The album came out though.
Yeah, they dropped. They had a few videos. They was just Jersey hard.
Yeah.
That's when Jersey wasn't getting no looks.
Right.
I wonder if that
at that time when they wasn't really getting no looks, too.
I wonder if that album's on Spotify. I would love to hear that.
Yep, that was it. Marley Marl Part 2. Thank you, Marley. Thank you to our friends at Boiler Room. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week with another brand new Juan Eperuski. And the week after that, we will be bringing in Mr. C for Part 2, the second hour of the Mr. C podcast. Guys, we love you like we love Letary and Milton, okay? Rosenberg Radio, Cypher Sounds on Twitter. Tweet us, man. I got to tell you, my wrestling podcast listeners, the wrestling podcast I do, Cheap Heat, man, those guys tweet me nonstop. R1EP listeners, I feel like you lazy pieces of shit just listen to the show and get high and don't even write us anymore. Reach out. Tell us who you want to hear on the podcast. What do you want to say, Juanito?
I jog and listen to you guys while I jog.
You jog, Juanito?
Yeah, and for 4 miles. So for a whole hour, I get to jog and listen to you guys.
I don't think it should take you a whole hour to do 4 miles. I'm just kidding. That's actually pretty impressive. Thank you, Juanito. So maybe other people are jogging, and that's why they're not able to write us. Maybe that's what it is. But guess what? If you're running and trying to lose weight, slow your fat ass down, stop, and write us real quick a little tweet that says, hey, I love that you're doing it every week. I'm supporting. Go to patreon.com/oneuppodcast and throw a few bucks our way. Show love. This way we'll have new products soon. We'll constantly be improving the OneUp situation. Anyways, we love you. Check out my other podcast, Cheap Heat, if you're a wrestling fan by any chance. Check out DJ Juanito and Dominican Drew. Are you guys still doing your weird, pathetic podcast?
Yo, shut up, man. It's a spinoff of your show.
I know. That's why it's weird and pathetic. Where can they hear it?
I'm on SoundCloud at DJ Juanito with the Y.
Okay, thank you. Go check out that, of course. And that's it. We'll catch you guys next week. Juan Epp out. Yo, hook me up, man.